This is the Football Hour.
That's right, you're listening to the Football Hour, but it's just me, Don Betts. Me and Alex apologise for not being a podcast for the last week. I've had a terrible cold, you might be able to tell by my voice still, and Alex been working every single day, all day for the last week, so hasn't really helped. We're also not in the studio, well, I'm not in the studio, I'm in my room recording this, so sorry if it sounds a bit different to usual. But on this podcast, we're going to be talking about the Premier League. What happened last weekend, what's happened this week, and what's going to happen this weekend in all the 10 fixtures. So where else do we start by talking about last weekend's fixtures? And starting off with the champions, Leicester City. We're playing the team who are favourite to go down in Hull City, who had like 12 fit players, or 13 fit players. They don't even have a manager. They lost. Hull pretty much Leicestered what Leicester were like last season. Leicester. It was amazing. I was in Preston because Fulham were away to Preston, so I didn't really see the game. I've only seen the highlights of Match of the Day and stuff like that, goals on Sunday, etc, etc. But Leicester just didn't look very good. I mean, the goals from Hull came from Diamandé and Robert Snodgrass, and Leicester's goal came from a penalty from Riyad Mahrez. I mean, Jamie Vardy, he missed a fair few chances. I mean, I was quite impressed with Ahmed Musa. He did set up Jamie Vardy quite a few times, and Vardy was just quite poor in his efforts. I mean, maybe Musa should have a go at goal more instead of trying to late Vardy all the time, considering how poor he was on the weekend. But I mean, Mahrez has signed a new contract this week, so at least he's definitely staying, obviously along with Jamie Vardy. I think it's just they need to work out what we're going to do in midfield to cover all that space that Kante covered. But Hull 2, Leicester 1, I mean, the bookies must have made a lot of money on this, because I bet people were backing Leicester left, right and centre, and Hull ended up winning. But yeah, good result for Hull. I don't think it's what's going to happen all season. I still think they're going to go down, possibly last. Probably last, actually, to be honest. I think this is a freak win, to be honest. First day of the season against champions. Promoted team's first game at home, always a good atmosphere. Next up was Burnley versus Swansea. Burnley, again, another team I tipped to go down, just because, well, they've made no signings, really. They signed two players from Charlton. I know they signed Stefan de Fordes, but I'll get onto that later. But, I mean, they haven't really made any signings, and they lost at home to a late Leroy Fergal. And Guidolin, how have you said Swansea's name, manager? He's continuing his good work from the second half of last season after Gary Monk got sacked, because, you know, he did keep them up. That's what he had to do, and he's continuing on that work. Next up was Palace against West Brom, and this was the most Pulis tight win. A header from Solomon Rondon, you know, his big, strong, don't even know where he's from, somewhere in South America up front, and they won the game. And after this, it makes Pardew favourite to go down at 5-2. And I think he would have been my favourite at the beginning of the season. Mine would have been either Sean Dyche or Isa Karanka, but it seems Pardew's favourite to go down. He then linked to sign Christian Benteke, which again, I'll get onto the transfer section of this podcast, but yeah, not looking good for Palace, because obviously they've sold Bolasie as well to Everton. Next up is the team who finished third, who everyone really assumed basically finished second, in Spurs. They drew 1-1 with Everton, goals from Barkley and Eric Lamella. Eric Lamella, who has looked very, very good in pre-season. But Everton looked a massive improvement under Ronald Koeman. He's only been in there a month or two since Martinez got sacked and since he got appointed from Southampton, but they looked so much better, so much more attacking, so much better defensively as well. And Spurs continuing their poor sort of end of last season form, because, you know, if this game was maybe February, March time last season, Spurs probably would have won about 3-0, but they didn't, and it's 1-1. But I think Spurs, you know, their English players need to push on. We talked about this in the Manager Watch. They need to push on. Eric Dier, Dele Alli, Harry Kane, Danny Rose, Kyle Walker, all of them. They need to push on this season and continue what they were like last season and prove that the Euro performances by most of these players, well, maybe Eric Dier, was just a small blip. Borough versus Stoke, 1-1. Goal from Negredo and a goal from Shaqiri. Negredo, on his way to prove me right, in the Manager Watch podcast on Aitor Karanka and Middlesbrough, Alex wasn't so sure on Alvaro Negredo, but I was. I still think he's going to get 15 odd goals this season, and he's proven me right by scoring on his debut. And obviously Shaqiri scores Stoke's goal. But I mean, it's the first day. Borough might look at this on as a, not a great result, because they believe they should have won, obviously, because they went in the lead. If this result was halfway through the season, I reckon both teams would have taken the result, because, you know, a point against a good side is good for Borough. Against a team like Stoke, and you know, Stoke going to a place like Borough, it's a good result. So if this result was maybe in like a December, January, February, I think both teams would have taken the result. So if you keep hearing that clicking, that is my pen. I'll put my pen down. Next was the 5:30 kickoff on the Saturday, which was Manchester City against Sunderland, Pep Guardiola's debut at the Etihad. And Alex has got a good start, I guess. He said they'd win all their home games, and good start. Only just, obviously, because Aguero put them ahead with a penalty, although he did miss two midweek in the Champions League qualifier. Then Defoe equalised, and Hempani Mané scored an own goal in the 87th minute to give the win to Man City. So he signs on a Thursday, trains on a Friday, makes his debut on a Saturday, and scores an own goal to be the winner for Man City after moving from Manchester United. Not the best, but I don't think it's a terrible start for David Moyes, because he wasn't expecting to get anything from this game. I know some have beaten City a couple of times in recent years, but you know, David Moyes was not being expected to win this game. I think most bookies would probably think he's going to lose 3 or 4-0, but it's not a terrible start. I mean, they scored away at Man City against a Pep Guardiola side who have probably like 70% of the ball. You know, I don't think it's a terrible start for David Moyes. Moving on to Sunday, we had Bournemouth against Manchester United. Perfect start for Man United. One, because Ibra scored on his debut, and because I don't really count Community Shield because it's basically just a glorified friendly. And then you've got Wayne Rooney scoring, which is nice because, you know, no one really knows what's going to happen with Wayne Rooney in the next year, maybe 2 years. And then Mata scored, which is really funny because he got subbed on the Community Shield, then got subbed off again. So people think, oh, Mourinho's hating him again. But he started him, he scored, he played really well. And then Alan Smith got a goal for Bournemouth. And I mean, you could say the typical United are back, because I was not impressed with United that much at all, to be honest. I mean, again, I didn't see you in 90 minutes, I've only seen the highlights, but it didn't look amazing how I think they had the potential to be. But I mean, it didn't have Pogba playing, they did have, like, I don't know, your Schneiderlin, your Flaney, your Carricks in the midfield. They're not world-class centre midfielders, are they, like Paul Pogba? Next up, we have Arsenal against Liverpool, and that was definitely the game in the weekend. To finish 4-3 to Liverpool. Arsenal's goals came from Walcott, Ox and Chambers. Liverpool's from Coutinho of Tulelano and Mane. Although Liverpool were 4-1 up, so maybe they won't be too happy with it. But, you know, it's Arsenal. Same old Arsenal, unprepared. They're like this every single season. I don't understand it. What I find absolutely hilarious is Man United have replaced Van Persie, who they bought from Arsenal, before Arsenal. Because Arsenal haven't replaced Van Persie. Giroud isn't a replacement. He doesn't get you 30 goals a season, where United have replaced him with Ibrahimovic. Arsenal haven't replaced him yet, and they don't really, I can't really see them getting a striker. They're more linked to a centre-back to sort out the defensive worries, because obviously Gabriel Mertesacker out for a long time, but in today's market, I'm sorry, Wenger, you're going to have to splash this money out to get the top players. You've shown that with Pogba and Higuain. Like, Higuain, he's not worth 75 mil, but Juventus paid it so they could get him, so they know they can walk the league. I mean, you know, Lacazette, would he work in a team? Well, yes, he'd be better than Giroud, wouldn't he? And he scored a hat-trick last weekend, so, but I think, you know, because he's got a hat-trick, that's definitely going to improve his price, increase his price. With the deadline coming ever so near, it's going to make it go up even more. I think if they're going to get Lacazette, they're going to have to pay 60-odd million for him. I'm afraid that's just what it's going to be. I'll get on some more of the transfer rumours of Arsenal's defenders later on in the transfer section, as I've said a few times, but Liverpool, they weren't impressive, but inconsistent. That's what their problem is, I think, is going to be this season. I think they'll get top four. Like, I'm going to go back on what I said in Manager Watch. I, after seeing them play, I do think they can get top four, but they just can't win the title. Everyone's saying, yes, they don't have any European football, so they have a better chance. Yeah, but they're too inconsistent. And, I mean, you can't win the league with Alberto Moreno at left-back. I think it was Garth Crooks who said that with Moreno in the team, you're more likely to get relegated than win the league. So I was impressed with Liverpool at the first bit of the second half, but they did let Arsenal back into the game, and they can't be doing that against better sides such as your City's and United's and even Chelsea's. And moving on to Chelsea, they conclude the weekend's football against West Ham on the first Monday night football of the season. Gary Neville getting back with Jamie Carragher. This was an awful game, to be honest. It's the first 90 minutes of Premier League football I'd watched all weekend, and oh, it was bad. I mean, West Ham lacked any attacking threat until Dimitri Payet came on. I mean, they were playing Antonio at right back when they had a right back on the bench in Sam Byron, who they signed last January from Leeds. It just didn't make any sense. I mean, I don't even think Chelsea were that good. I mean, they scored the penalty through Eden Hazard, and they maybe should have had a penalty in the first half, 50-50. But I mean, you know, they didn't really create any proper attacking chances, and then they got punished for that when James Collins scores from the set piece. Great finish by the Ginger Pele, but they did finally get the goal late on in the game with Diego Costa scoring from outside the box. But yeah, I didn't think Chelsea got that good, but as much as I hate Chelsea, I just loved Conte's passion. I just love passionate managers. I don't know what it is, I just love it. He just getting involved with the crowd, absolutely brilliant.
You can listen to all our latest podcasts on our Audio Boom channel, audioboom.com/thefootballhour.
Moving on, look at the transfer business that's happened this week. Three permanent since our last podcast, which is Manager's Best Bits. If you haven't listened to that, go listen to it. It's amazing. you know, I put so much work into it. It's like an hour long, but I promise you, it's worth the listen. But yeah, Ashley Williams to Everton for £14 million. I'm not sure what to make of this transfer, because he is in his 30s. I think he's about 31 years old, but he is a defender, so they can sort of, they last longer like goalkeepers, you know what I mean? Like, but for 14 million, considering they got 48 for John Stones, and only investing 14 in replacing him, which I think defensive quality wise for Everton is a better signing. I don't think necessarily Ashley Williams is better than John Stones, but for Everton, I think Williams is better. I think it's a good signing. I mean, I'm surprised he left Swansea, you know, leaving Wales, even though he's from like Stockport or somewhere like that. Yeah, I think it's a good sign for Everton, a proper leader at the back. Because, I mean, even Arsenal have been after him in recent years. So, you know, he has been wanted by top clubs, and he is a top defender. Next is Stephen Defour to Burnley for £8.6 million. I mean, this guy was wanted by United years ago. You know, he's been like a, what was he, a Football Manager wonder kid, and what was he, Football Manager 2011, 2010? You know, everyone knows who Stephen Defour is. I think even Fulham were after him, like, a few transfer windows ago. Like, not maybe not the season we got relegated, but maybe the season or two before, like, the same time we were going after the likes of Brian Ruiz. It was, you know, he's been linked with a lot of Premier League clubs, but he chose Burnley because I think his other offer was in the Saudi League, and he said he chose footballing reasons over financial reasons, which is nice to see in today's game. Then the other permanent transfer, which I touched on before, was Yannick Bolasie to Everton for £28.9 million. He's 27, so he is in his prime. I think he needs to work on his end product. Everyone knows he's very skillful, very tricky winger. He can produce when he can, but he needs to produce on a more consistent basis for me. He doesn't do it enough. But if Ronald Koeman can do what he did with Mane and turn into a great winger, great attacker, maybe even working through the centre, he might become a great player for Everton. And he might actually work out being not being a terrible transfer in today's market. So in transfer rumours, we got Benteke to Palace, around £30 million. Palace do need a striker. I just don't know if he's the striker they need, because they don't really play like Route 1 football. They like to play on the wings. I know that helps because they can whip the ball in the box, but their wingers both like to cut inside and attack the goal themselves. But I think Benteke is the best striker they could get, really, unless you're looking at Berahino. Him and Benteke, I'd say, are the two best options. But, you know, Benteke to Palace, this is a good option for Benteke. He's not that old still. He's still relatively young, so he can still have a few more seasons to get 20, 30 goals in the Premier League season, because he's your 20, 30 goal season striker. He proved that at Aston Villa. And then two other rumours is obviously the centre-back issue for Arsenal. There's obviously been Mustafi, he's been linked for ages, you know, the German international centre-back from Valencia, who actually was in Everton's ranks, youth ranks, years ago, which I forgot about when I looked at that. It reminded me, but yeah, that's quite strange, actually. You know, he went over to Spain and just had a very, very good, successful career, because there was that season a couple of seasons ago when, if you listen to the Football Hour, when we were on the Smoke Radio of University of Westminster Student Station, we were saying Valencia had a great defence when they had the likes of Osimhendi, Gaia at left back, they had obviously Mustafi at centre back, they had obviously Diego Alves in goal. I mean, you know, that was a great defence, and he has proven himself, he is a great defender. He doesn't get in the German team too much, which is pretty hard when the two starting centre backs are Mats Hummels and Jerome Boateng, the new centre back partnership at Bayern Munich, actually. But the other one linked is Jimenez from Atletico Madrid, but also would have to pay £56 million for this youngster. But I think he's only like 21, 22. And to be fair, if John Stones is going for £48 million, you'd say Jimenez would have to be going for around the same price, 50, 56, 60 mil, because, you know, he was playing in the Champions League final with Atletico last season. He's made a really good partnership with Diego Godin. But if I was Arsenal, I don't know, I'd want to go for the more experienced centre and Mustafi, but I'd even look back at going for someone like Diego Godin, because I know he is old, but they need that experience at the back. They haven't got anyone. You know, Gabriel, Mertesacker, I mean, they're playing Holding, who is it, Callum Chambers on the weekend. So I mean, maybe they do need to get an experience at centre back and not get a young'un in. You know, I know Jimenez is experienced, but I mean, maybe someone like the Mustafis and Diego Godin might be a good transfer. So let's move on to what I think is going to happen this weekend.
Remember to visit our website, thefootballhour.com, for all our latest podcasts and articles.
So for the first time in the Premier League, there's going to be a Friday night game. It's going to be on Sky Sports 1 tonight, and it's going to be United versus Southampton. Most likely going to be Paul Pogba's debut, his home debut as well, Ibra's home debut as well. I think it's going to be a great game, a great occasion, just I think it's going to be amazing. And my prediction is going to be 3-1 United, because, you know, Southampton, as we said, we don't think they're going to do too well this season. I mean, Claude Puel's not a bad manager. He's done well with Lyon. He did well last season with Nice, getting them to the top four in the French league, got him getting them into Europe. But I still think United are going to be way too strong for Southampton, and I've gone for a 3-1 Manchester United win here. And I reckon Paul Pogba will score on his debut, and I reckon he might get one as well. And then next we have Stoke versus Manchester City. I mean, Stoke's obviously a hard place to go. It always has been since I got into the Premier League. I do think Pep Guardiola's, their side are getting better and better with his philosophy. They did win very, very comfortably in midweek against a poor, Bucharesti side. It wasn't exactly the greatest game of football, but, you know, I still think City can pull away with a win here. I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to say an Aguero double, just because Aguero is my captain on fantasy football. I mean, I don't mind Aguero and De Bruyne, because I both have them in my fantasy team, but yeah, goals from those two players would be great. Next up is Burnley versus Liverpool. Burnley are going to get destroyed in this game, I think. I know I said Liverpool inconsistent and they're not exactly the greatest defensively, but Burnley are poor, a very, very poor side. I know they've signed Stefan Defour, but that's not going to help them in this game, I think. I think it's going to be a comfortable 3-0 win for Liverpool. I'm going to go goals from Mane, Coutinho and Firmino. Next up, what a boring game this is going to be. Swansea City versus Hull City. Hull, I know they beat the champions last weekend, but I just don't think they're going to get anything in this game, because Swansea are a very good team at home usually, and they're playing relatively well under Guidolino. I think that's his name. I'm going to get battered probably on Twitter for it, but yeah, I still think Swansea will pull away with a win here, and I'm going to say 2-1 to Swansea City. Next up is a London derby between Tottenham Hotspur and Crystal Palace. Palace were a poor side at the moment. If Bentancur comes through in time, will it change anything? Not in my opinion. White Hart Lane's going to be a tough place to go. I think it'll be the first game back at White Hart Lane since last season. I think the fans will push him on, and that's going to result in a 2-0 win for Crystal Palace. Next up is Watford versus Chelsea. It's not a London derby. What am I talking about? Watford, I don't count as London. No one try to argue ever that Watford count as London. They're in Hertfordshire, okay? They're in Hertfordshire. Watford, Hertfordshire. So yeah, Watford versus Chelsea. Watford, I don't know what to make of them under their new manager. And Conte, you know, he's such a tactical, sort of defensively minded coach. I think he'll get a clean sheet in this game and scrape a 1-0 win with a goal from Diego Costa. Next up is Leicester versus Arsenal. I can't wait for this game. It's a 5:30 game. It's the champions versus the team probably most under pressure from their fans. And I think it's just going to be a draw. I think it's going to be 1-1, because I don't think Leicester are going to be too good. I know it's their first home game since being crowned champions in the new season, but I just don't think they not have enough. But maybe Mahrez and Vardy want to prove a point to Arsenal, saying maybe, well, this is why we didn't want to join you, because we think we're better here. And they could pull off a win, but I think it's going to be 1-1. I'm going to say goals from Vardy and Alexis Sanchez. The first game on Super Sunday is a North East derby. And no, it is not Sunderland-Newcastle. It's Sunderland-Middlesbrough, because obviously Newcastle got relegated and Borough came up. And I think it's going to be a good game. I think there'll be goals, because I don't think both sides are that great defensively. And both teams are relatively decent at scoring, with the likes of the grade under foe up front for each team. So I'm going to go for a 2-2. Last up is West Ham versus Bournemouth. I mean, it's the first game of the London Stadium, the Olympic Stadium, whatever you want to call it. And I think this will spur West Ham onto the victory. Maybe Payet will start, and that will just be somewhat helpful for West Ham, with all the fans chanting, "We've got Dimitri Payet." And, you know, if Antonio plays in the wing and Byron plays at right back, I don't think they'll have as much defensive issues. And Andy Carroll up front, etc, etc. But I think, yeah, they'll scrape the win. I think they're going to get a 2-1 win over Bournemouth here. So that's all the games for this weekend. So we've covered last weekend's football, all the transfer stuff, and the games going on tomorrow and Sunday. So I hope you enjoyed the Football Hour. I've been Dom Betts. We try and get back to our normal schedule as soon as we can, once Alex has some free time, because, you know, this podcast doesn't make us millionaires. We do have to do actual work. So yeah, guys, this has been the Football Hour. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Football Hour with Dom Betts.